Hallelujah. So now we can take a shot from the word of God. Isaiah chapter 24. Isaiah 24 verse 49. I think it's Isaiah 49 verse 24. Please help me with that scripture. Isaiah 49 verse 24. And we'll look at this scripture. Tonight is a deliverance night. And we are going to see all kinds of yokes break in this place, because God is present to deliver. Hallelujah. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or shall the lawful captive be delivered? But thus said the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. If you are still here, say amen. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. In the Garden of Eden, after creation, God was trying so hard to get Adam to understand a principal lesson. And the lesson that God was trying to make Adam understand, he was trying to unveil that lesson when he was pointing to the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He told Adam, he said, in the day that you eat of this fruit, ye shall surely die. I was expecting Adam to ask God a few questions. Die? Because in the ecosystem that God created, there was no death. In the civilization that God ordained upon the face of the earth, death was not supposed to be factored in this frame of reference. I was expecting Adam to ask a few questions. What is the source of this death? But unfortunately, Adam did not ask. But you see, that piece of information that God shared with Adam, in the day that you eat of this fruit, you will die. That piece of information was a revelation of the justice system that is held up in the unseen realm. Adam did not understand that there was an unseen realm, and that the justice system of the unseen realm was binding upon the natural realm. So that disclosure that God brought to Adam was a revelation of a legal system that existed in a realm that was not seen. And because that realm was not seen, Adam felt that it was an instruction that could be ignored. Just like those of us in this place now, there is a tendency for you to be ignorant of the fact that there is a justice system that is held up in the invincible realm, and that system of justice is binding on the natural realm. Whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, whether you are aware of it or not, it is binding upon your life. Adam was not adequately instructed in these matters. He did not understand that one of the possibilities in the unseen realm was that it was legal in nature. It was legalistic in nature. Now let me show you that from a few scriptures. Genesis chapter 4, we'll read from verse 8. I'd like you to follow me closely. Follow me closely. Because there's a justice system in the unseen realm that is going to affect every creature. Adam trivialized this justice system and he became a victim. He did not just become a victim, but his ignorance of this system and his disobedience to that justice system affected the entire human race. And in your own case, you are going to be doing serious damage to yourself and probably to the generations that are going to come from your loins if by any means you despise this justice system. In the book of Genesis chapter 4 verse 8, the Bible says, and Cain, amen, and Cain talked with his brother, with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Hallelujah. Now Cain, who was ignorant of this justice system that was obtainable in the realm, in the invincible realm, went someday and he killed his brother. There was no human observer within sight. And so what he felt, what he did, was not known to any entity whatsoever. You see, Cain was not educated about the spiritual realm. He did not understand that there were four physical things that have the capacity to speak into the immortal realm, one of which was blood. So he was very, very ignorant of what he was dealing with, but his ignorance did not save him from the consequences of his actions. He never knew that blood had the potential to cry and to make demands on the immortal realm. He never knew that because he was not educated. It was that education that God wanted to bring to Adam. And he gave him a little glimpse of it by telling him that in the day that you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. In the Hebrew it reads, in dying ye shall die. Revealing that death that God spoke about was a process that was going to be unfolding with time, unfolding across the generations, unfolding, and from one level of decay to another level of decay. It was like a program that if you initiate, it has the potential of growing in capacity to destroy and to mutate. Now, so Cain was ignorant, and Cain went and killed his brother. He looked around and saw that there was nobody observing. So he cleaned everything up and went home. Unknown to him, the blood that touched the ground. The Bible revealed that that ground that received the blood out of the hand of Cain, Cain thought he spilled blood, but Cain never knew that the blood was received as exhibit in the court of heaven by the ground. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Your heart is breaking. No, let it not break yet. The ground was an accountant that received blood out of the hand of Cain, and after receiving blood out of the hand of Cain, he also, the ground also provided the public address system that projected the cry of the blood to the court of heaven in the sanctuary of the immortals. All of these things were happening behind the scene. It is possible for you to think that the consequences of your actions are only time-based. I just slept with that lady. I'm a sharpshooter. I just met her on Monday. I slept with her on Wednesday. Glory. That's how ignorant mortals talk, that do not understand that behind the scene there is a wide island of justices, of judgments, of statutes that have been existing in the immortal realm that actually pray, that actually interpret our actions and mete out justice and judgment from that dimension. God was trying to educate Adam to make him understand that even though he was in the physical realm, he was subject to the justice system of the immortal realm. Cain went and killed. He never knew that every drop of blood that came from his brother's body, the ground received it. And it was the ground. The blood was crying, but the cry could not reach heaven. The ground organized a public address system that projected that cry, and he went into the courtroom of the immortals and he summoned the court to sit down. The court had to sit because the cry was increasing in the chambers of immortality. A court session sat, and right from the justice dock in the heavens, God began proceedings by cross-examination. He now asked Cain, "Where is thy brother Abel?" And the way he asked the question, he asked it as though it was a mortal that was asking. So Cain trivialized the question and answered an immortal as though he was addressing a mortal, because he felt that nobody was in sight of my actions, so I'm going to conceal the secret. He said, "Come on, have you made me my brother's keeper? At what point did I become responsible for my brother's disappearance?" And then the immortals decided to educate him. They said, "Well, we were not supposed to tell you this, but the ground that received the blood out of your brother's hand has sent up a cry, caused the cry of the blood to be amplified to our courtroom." Do you realize that after that, Cain was no longer given an opportunity to speak before this great court of the immortals? His only opportunity to speak, he decided to respond to immortals as though he was talking to a finite mortal. And justice and judgment had to come. He said, "You are cursed among all men. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield unto you her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond, there will be no place that you can establish your destiny, because the earth will reject you. You are going to be wandering like a pilgrim without a destination. And in the midst of your transition, in the midst of your pilgrimage, you will be cut short." Hallelujah. Comes to Makurdi. The situation in Makurdi is unfavorable. He has to move to Enugu. He goes to Enugu. He finds out that it is more difficult. He goes to Aba. Only for him to realize at the age of 70 that, wait, it's not the territory that is bad. There is something working on my life that is making it impossible for me to find a place that I can dwell and fulfill destiny. That verdict came from the courtroom, the secret chambers of the immortals. Meanwhile, Cain was attempting to claim ignorance that such a court exists. Just like every one of us here. You feel that your actions are just your actions. You don't understand that they have implications in the invincible realm, and the justice system that supports that civilization is going to bring to book every activity of yours will come to light. That's when you will know the impact of your so-called trivial actions before the sight of the immortal God. You know, I like a scripture so much. I think it is in the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 17. But we'll do Romans chapter 1 verse 16 and 17 if you have your Bible. It's an interesting scripture. Now, this is Paul speaking in Romans chapter 1 verse 16. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, that's where I'm going. I need to take time to unravel that scripture, because therein, are you still here? Oh, you are not here. I said, if you are still here, say amen. Because in the gospel, according to Paul, he said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Verse 18. Notice, he said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all what? I know you don't like those words. I'm just trying to educate you about the systems of the invisible realm that have impact and implication on the natural realm. These systems I'm trying to unveil are systems that existed before you were created. They existed before Adam was created in the garden. And Adam never knew. He had to find out about the immortal realm, the invincible realm, so that he could stay in alignment and in agreement with the justice system of that layer. He wanted to be a dissociated entity that will exist apart from the foundation of the invincible realm. Meanwhile, the Bible reveals that God created the heavens before he created the earth. The heavens, the civilization in the heavens was already established. And the creation procedure that was used to formulate the physical realm was that it came from the invincible realm. Are you still with me? Every tree has root. Is that true? Every shoe has a sole. Is that true? Every house has a foundation. Is that true? I say, is that true? The natural realm is supported by the invincible realm. That's why a witch does not need, if he wants to afflict you, a witch goes into the invincible realm and orchestrates the affliction from there. So, because that is the foundation realm, that's the parent realm, this is the derived realm. So when the affliction is orchestrated from the unseen realm, it comes into this visible realm as though it was just one of those events. It is superior to this realm, so it can influence this realm. Every change that needs to be brought into this realm must begin from that realm, because that realm is superior to this realm. This realm will vanish, but that realm is eternal, is perpetual. The Bible says the things that are seen, they are temporary, and the things that are not seen, they are eternal. So it's a deception for you to be operating in the realm that is temporary, and you do not know that you are subject to the justice system of the eternal realm. That was the challenge of Cain. Hallelujah. So the Bible says that there was something that the gospel revealed. Actually, in scripture, there are three things that were revealed by the gospel, and this is one of them. One of the things that the gospel revealed, which was not known until the gospel began to display it, is the righteousness of God. The justice system of God was not revealed until the time where the preaching of the gospel became predominant. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek, for therein in the gospel is the righteousness, the justice system of God. It is revealed in the gospel, and it is the righteousness of God that will make him judge.
not a sinner man.
Because the next verse says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men. Part and parcel of the gospel is to reveal the fact that God is so righteous, and the righteous system that he has set in motion through which all men and all nations will be governed is a system of wrath against everything that is unrighteous and everything that is unholy. We did not know this until the gospel revealed it. It will be ignorance on your part to think that your actions do not have implications. Excuse me. The gospel revealed the righteousness of God, and the righteousness of God was revealed from one level of faith to another level of faith. It means that as you are walking, as the just walks by faith, the more you press into God, the more you will see laws in the spirit realm that are supposed to regulate you. You may have come into the kingdom on a broad road, but as you begin to walk there, because of the laws you will find, what will be left for you, for your navigation, will be a narrow path. Because the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And then the next verse now says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. It's a revelation that was disclosed right from the very heavens. That it is God's way to deal with the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Now, having said this, I can now go to the scripture that I started with in the book of Isaiah, chapter 49. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I remember a brother that he hurt me so bad. He hurt me so bad, and I went to report him to God. And when I reported him to God, the Lord now told me I should go and apologize to him. I died in my prayer room. I died. Because, what? And you know, when God disclosed his will, he didn't speak again. When I was fumbling in the flesh, he let me be. And the reason why he let me be was that he has revealed his perspective. It was left for me to decide to choose his will or not. When I now went and apologized to him, and I did that with all my heart, having been dealt with by the Lord, I came back broken. And I consulted with him again. And he said, do good to them that offend you. That's the scripture. He said, if you become like this, by this you are giving the justice system of God an opportunity, because you are heaping coals of fire upon them. Your apologizing did not liberate the person. It only implicated the person and made him a spaceman worthy enough for the consideration of the justice system of heaven. The more you grow in God, the more you begin to understand the righteousness of God, the justice system of God, from faith to faith. No one is excluded from it. And that's why it is written that the just shall live by faith. You know, I read from the book of Isaiah chapter 49 verse 24. And it's a question. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? He knew that question would be difficult to understand. So he asked the question in another way again. He said, shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Or shall the lawful captive be delivered? It's a question. And it was as though God was asking Isaiah the question. And unfortunately, Isaiah did not have an answer. Because this captor was not mighty because of brute strength. The captor was mighty because the case of the captivity was a legal case. That was why there was no physical, human, fleshly
person that could walk. This captivity was a legal kind of captivity,
and it can only be sorted out in a legal way. Many of us do not understand that the bondages that have been traveling from generation to generation in our families are legal-based captivities. Somewhere along the line, someone of repute, someone that had the capacity of headship in the family, decided to have dealings and truces with the kingdom of darkness and dedicated the entire family to demons. Whereas you make attempts, you make New Year resolutions, I want to change, unknown to you, there's a legal situation that has sold you out, and the power of your free will and choice is impotent as touching the matter, because this matter is legal. In his outlook, it has depths that are deeper than time and space. And so when the question was thrown out to Isaiah, there was no answer. His response was like Ezekiel, only thou knowest, because it was God himself that came to provide the answer. Friends, hear me. There are several situations that only God can answer. In the case of Zebulun and Naphtali, God did not send an angel. There's so much angels can do. But when legal situations come to bear, it will take the manifold wisdom of God to bring about deliverance that will last the test of time. Some of the patterns we see in our city is as a result of several things that have legal foundations. And unless Jesus himself comes upon the scene, the mighty will prevail. The patterns are predictable, because there's a legal situation that has set the ball in motion. It doesn't matter where you study, in Oxford or in Harvard, you will end up like everyone that has been ahead of you, because there is a legal situation that has made the pattern predictable. When issues have legal foundations, there are about five symptoms you are going to find. First symptom you are going to find is that you find cyclical events. Events that reoccur. Cyclical. It comes and goes. Second symptom you are going to find is that you find patterns. Patterns flows across generations, because evil spirits will watch across generations to bring covenants and agreements to pass. Then you see something that happened in the life of your father, of your grandfather, your father, and the symptoms of the same are beginning to find expression in your life. It's a legal matter, and it's only God that can bring an answer to it. Saying we are trusting God for that, we're also trusting God that the patterns will be broken, that liberty will come to the souls of men, and have been with free, that God will initiate a new pattern that is sustained by a new law, so that deep new seasons can come that will pioneer the civilizations of God. I say number one is what? What? It's cyclical. Cyclical. Every June you are sick. There's a spirit involved, and that spirit draws its strength from a legal foundation. Then you have patterns. Flows across generations. Then you have cycles. Circles. Somebody went to study in Oxford, stayed in the UK for 18 years. When he came back empty. The other one went to Cyprus. It's as if there is a contract with poverty. Doesn't matter how many opportunities you stumble upon, the outcome is already known. Patterns that have been set in motion by demonic legal agreements that have bound men, bound families. Your dad was a drunk. And now when you take two bottles, you are just starting because he doesn't intoxicate anymore. You are becoming a maniac. But you see, the elders in the village were aware you will end that way. It's not new to them. When you were behaving like a decent secondary school boy, they were looking at you. And they will laugh in the night. Because they know that when you are 24, you come back with a green bottle. Not because they work in the department of prophecy, but the legal premise have been established to ensure that that is how you will end. Even people that give their life to Christ, they try to be zealous. And after a time, you find them going back to the patterns. And so God had to call the prophet. And he brought a question to him. Shall the prey be taken from the mind? Shall the lawful captive be delivered? Because many people here need to ask the same question. When shall it be? What shall be the sign of your coming? Because many generations have been wasted. People that was as though they were promising, rising up with great promise in the prime of their expression, they were cut off. They ended with a loud burial. And the entire compound is littered with graves. Death is the only celebration that has come there since 1989. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? I remember those days when we were still on campus. There was this great leader that was rising. I don't want to call the name, you might be the relative and your heart might break. But everybody that was on campus that time knew that in the Tip Nation there was a voice that came up and articulate. Very, very, very articulate. Very, very strong with diction, a duster of political matrices was rising. And when he got to 400 level, he met his end in a ghastly motor accident. The elders were not surprised. We were the only ones surprised when they ferried his coffin with so much tears. Since 1989, the only thing that has been celebrated in your family are big burials. People fight over the kind of ties that they used to make graves. Shall the prey be taken from the mind? Shall the lawful captive be delivered? The time has come where we will stop celebrating burials. Because God will begin to do something in the land that will cause the ears of them that hear to tingle. A new law will bring about a new possibility. And the sons of strangers will come into the land to build our walls. Because God is about to restore our fortunes. Hallelujah. What was the answer that God gave to the prophet after the prophet could not supply any answer to the question? He said, "But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered." I guess at this point the prophet asked, "How? How will you do it? How shall these things be?" He said, "For I will contend." Don't think no lesser than Jehovah can speak on this matter. He said, "I will contend with him that contended with thee, and I will save thy children." In order to stop the transgenerational potential of this kind of transaction, the immortal that is in the present, in the future, and in the past, he said, "I will contend so that your children will be delivered." Tonight the immortal comes. For the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Only a God that can reach into the past that has representation in the present that governs.
pastor future can answer a legal question.
Something that furnishes the realm of legality in the spirit to bring men into bondage. Tonight, after the call for salvation, you are going to stand for your family. And we are going to conduct a spiritual ceremony tonight, so that the Lord will raise a Shabbat, the man of war, for contention, to drive out the spirit of Aleku, Azor spirit, and bring about a new law by which we'll be governed, a law that will be revealed from heaven.
Rise on your feet. I'm burdened. The burden is so much. The burden holds me like a jacket, like a garment. Just hear the Lord. Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contended with thee, and I will save thy children.
We stand tonight on the field on behalf of our great state, Benue. We have seen that many laws, many occultic laws, occultic foundations, dark foundations, covenants of witchcraft, of masonry, covenants of necromancy, the spirit of the dead has been consulted to determine the destiny of the living. Tonight, we want to call on the contender on the side of righteousness. Tonight, he is willing to pass in our midst. This is a night that a sinner man has to fear, because the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men. Can we have quiet on the field? I want to beg you tonight. I beg this night. This is the only night we have for this. We will do a spiritual ceremony. It will take us 30 minutes. After I do my part, I sit down. The prophet will come lead us to liberation. God has spoken many things to him. That's why I brought him all the way from Ibadan to do this spiritual ceremony tonight. We waited long. We waited long for the time where God will say, it is time. If you're on this field tonight, and you have been a servant of sin, your life goes in the direction of the greatest pleasure. You stand up and you number the, you have a current number of all the virgins on your street, 18 years and above, and you have made that your target. You brought 15 down, and you say you have 9 to go. You, unknown to you, you have been responding to a law in the spirit. You were programmed to be a creature of immorality. It has eroded your soul. Your right mind has been defiled. Are you here? And you have made drugs your God. You smoke all kinds of stuff. Now you don't even know when it's afternoon and night. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Tonight, it's time to meet with the Savior. If you are here under the sound of my voice, and you want to say yes to Jesus. Now, tonight is not for people that are not serious. A man was complaining the other day that 4 young men came to his backyard, invaded, broke the sock away, and began to sniff the ventilation that came out of the sockaway. After for about 30 minutes. They were knocked and they slept. They slept by the socketway. They were knocked off. So people have gone beyond cigarettes and Indian hemp. Now it's socketway. 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 Shall they pray? Be talking. Be talking. If you want to begin your pilgrimage with Jesus, and you are tired of your condition, put your right hand on your chest. It's you and you alone tonight. Your Father will not answer to you when the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Your right hand on your chest, anywhere you are, under the sound of my voice, even walking on the streets, Jesus is passing by. For those who have their right hands on their chest, put your left hand up so that I can see you. Everywhere. Right hand on your chest. Left hand up. Don't allow Satan win the argument over your soul. Raise it high. High. I make my exit. I rebel against the devil. Only the Son of Righteousness can answer for me now. Raise it high. Don't be ashamed. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me in this broken wall, I will be ashamed of you in the kingdom of my Father. If your hands are lifted, with those hands lifted, come out to me. I want to lay my hands on you and break the yoke. Come out. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of him in this broken wall. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Rebel against the devil. Rebel against your cult group. Rebel against your fraternity. It is time to embrace Jesus. With your hands up, come out solemnly. I bring you Jesus tonight. You can rebel against Satan. You can rebel against the devil. You can step into a new life. I will no longer serve immorality and fornication. I want to serve Jesus. My situation has a legal foundation. Only an immortal God can give me an answer to the question of my life. My life is too difficult for me to understand. Many times I said I wanted to make a change, but the ability to bring about that change was not found in my hand. I go to Jesus. I'm still waiting for you. I'm still waiting for you. I'm still waiting for you. Waiting for nine people. Nine people in the congregation. Nine people. Do not allow the devil win the argument over your life. Now I wait. I wait for seven people. Seven people. Seven people. Six people. Six people now. Six people now. Oh, 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 oh. Beginning of new things. I made this decision you are making now many years ago, and I've not regretted it. The Lord Jesus will give you a new name. Can you repeat after me? Say, Lord Jesus,
I accept that I'm a sinner. I accept that I cannot help myself. I come to you tonight. Have mercy on me. I receive your blood to cleanse me from all my sin. In the name of Jesus, write my name in the book of life. Every covenant that I entered into, knowingly or unknowingly, I renounce it tonight. Give me the ability to live for you all the days of my life, in Jesus' name. Now, let's do it quickly because we have a deliverance service after this. Just go this way. They'll take your details. Then you run back to your seat for a 30-minute deliverance service.